Praise God. So we're going to be starting a brand new series today. This is another whole church series, so we're all doing this together across our congregations, which are listed over there. So we're doing this across the congregations. We're all starting the same week and all doing the same topic each Sunday. So I mentioned right at the beginning of the year about different parts of theology that we're going to look at over the year, different ologies that we're going to look at. And we've just done Christology, kind of leading up to Easter. We spent, was it 5 or 6 weeks, I think it was, looking at the study of Jesus and who Christ is, who Jesus is, and what that means for us, you know, all that he did, all he did in his ministry, what that means for us as modern-day Christians. So the next thing we're going to move on to, and don't be scared by the big word, okay? Some of these things have just got old kind of Greek words, okay? What we're going to move on to is soteriology, okay? And soteriology is a doctrine of salvation. It's a doctrine or the study of salvation. So ology literally means a study of, so like theology, theo is the Greek word for God, it's a study of God. Christology, obviously a study of Christ. Soteriology is the study of salvation. And I think this falls really well coming off the back of Easter as well, and all that Jesus won for us, all he did for us on the cross. Amen. So we've examined the Saviour in Christology. Now we're going to examine the salvation that he's given to us, what he has won for us, what that means for us. Now, we have as believers, we have a great salvation. Who believes it? Your salvation is great. Everyone agree? Amen? Yeah. Hebrews 2, verse 3 says that, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? Amen? So soteriology is a branch of theology. I think I scared by the big words I said. Okay. Soteriology is a study of theology. It deals with the study of salvation. The term comes from the Greek word soterion, which literally means salvation. It's also related to the word soter, which is a Greek word for saviour, or connected to the word saviour. Okay, so it's a study of salvation, doctrine of salvation. Okay. Soteriology relates to several other branches of theology, and it's asking the question, who is saved? Or it's related to other branches of theology in that it's connected to asking who is saved? Us. By whom have we been saved? What have we been saved from? And by what means have we been saved? Okay, so it kind of answers those fundamental questions. And it's really, really important for us as believers to have this foundational understanding of what it is, what Jesus has won for us. Amen? What the cross means for us. Amen? Everyone agree? Okay. Also, studying salvation, it guards us against false understanding about salvation as well. It's really, really important that we understand you know, what salvation is actually about. Sometimes you hear it, sometimes in cults and other areas, you'll hear some stuff that's said about salvation that isn't correct. Okay, so we need to know what is correct, right? Amen? So simply put, is what we understand and can believe regarding salvation. Okay? And there are a number of different doctrines related to salvation. We're going to look at these over the coming weeks. So today we're going to look at forgiveness. In coming weeks, we're going to look at justification. Again, some big words, okay, but don't be scared by them. Okay, we're going to look at justification. We're going to look at redemption. We're going to look at reconciliation. We're going to look at sanctification. We're going to look at newness of life. And we're going to look at how we've been adopted into God's family. Amen. So there's some real big, kind of meaty topics out there. Okay, but I think it's going to be great. It's going to really speak into your life and into my life and into your life. Amen. Because it's really important that we understand the stuff. So as I said, today we're starting with forgiveness. Okay, and this could be a whole series in itself, and we could do 6 weeks on forgiveness. That's probably true. Okay, but yeah, that's what we're going to start with. Amen. It's really important for us to understand that we, as believers, that we, and this goes back to what Jesus did on the cross, that we are forgiven people. Amen. Yeah. You know, someone, I don't know who wrote this quote, but I love this quote. It says, forgiveness is man's greatest need and God's greatest gift. Forgiveness is man's greatest need and God's greatest gift. You know, through his salvation, God has given us complete forgiveness from sin. Amen? You know, it's really, really important that in life that we don't feel guilty for our past. So often guilt can just tie people up in knots and just hold them back from being the Christians and walking the destiny and purposes that God has for them. But so we need to understand we are totally forgiven. And even if we mess up, that we can be forgiven again. Amen? That his blood has paid the price. His blood washes us whiter than the snow and purifies us. Amen? Everyone agree? Okay. And God does not want us to walk in guilt or fear. If you feel guilt or fear about stuff that you've done in your past or even stuff you've done recently, it's not God's heart for you to walk in guilt or fear. Amen? And 1 John 4:18, we've got time to put all the scriptures even on screen this morning because there's a lot to get through. But his perfect love casts out every fear. That's what it says in 1 John 4, verse 18. Amen. Total forgiveness is what God uses to provide freedom, lasting freedom, from those fears. Amen. So when we correctly receive God's forgiveness, it releases us from all guilt and shame, no matter what we have done. That's good news. Amen. You know, the gospel is called good news, isn't it? That is good news. I don't know about you, but certainly for me, that is good news. And I'm sure that is true for you. Amen. That is great news. Praise God. Now, when people struggle with guilt, there's often three things that people do. Sometimes when people feel guilty about things they've done in the past or recently, they try and bury it and try and deny it. You know, but Psalm 32, 3-5, where David messed up, it teaches us you can't hide your sins from God. We know that everything we see, you can't pull the wool over God's eyes, can you? You know, we have to remember that when we pray, when we confess sin or pray in any context, we're not giving God information, right? Everyone, we should all understand that, right? We're not telling God things. It's like, oh, I didn't know that happened. No, that was going on in your life. I didn't know about that situation. Of course God knows, right? But he wants us to communicate with him, right? And when we mess up, God knows, right? So sometimes if we feel guilt, sometimes we try and bury it. Sometimes we try and blame others. That's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? Adam and Eve were kind of effectively blaming each other, weren't they? So it wasn't their fault. You can read about that in Genesis 3. Or sometimes people beat themselves up, you know, continue to kind of punish themselves for what they did. Yeah, but God doesn't want any of those things to be true about us. He wants us to know the reality of the freedom of forgiveness. Amen? Amen. God does not want us as his people to be guilt-ridden, but to be forgiven-driven. I like that. God does not want us to be guilt-ridden, but forgiven-driven. Amen? You know, Galatians 5, verse 1 says, "It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Jesus came to completely set us free, and to set us free from sin and the sinful nature with all he did on the cross. You know, forgiveness of our sin, of man's sin, was always God's plan and intention. Amen? Hebrews 10, verse, and I'm going kind of rattling through some scriptures here, so may need to listen to it again later, but if you're taking notes, try and keep up. But Hebrews 10, verse 17 says, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." Psalm 133, verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." Amen. Romans 8, verse 1 says, "Therefore, there is no now condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Amen. So it's always been God's plan and intention to deal with the issue of sin and to bring forgiveness for sin. Amen. You know, if you're feeling condemned about anything that's going on in your life, you're feeling bad, you're beating yourself up, what I want to say to you this morning is that's a lie from the pit of hell. And I absolutely mean that. It is. Because if we understand the power of the cross and what Jesus did through the cross, then you are totally forgiven. If you confessed it, you've been washed clean, you've been made new. You know, maybe you're thinking, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. Well, what I can't, maybe I don't know what you've done, but God definitely does know what you've done. Okay, but he still forgives you. Amen? Because it's all been paid for by the cross. It's not about whether we deserve it. We don't deserve anything. We understand, you know, that we're under grace. The grace is a free gift, as Paul talks about in Ephesians 2. It's a free gift. Grace literally means unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. No, that's true. We don't deserve it. It's all because it's just a free gift. We can't earn our salvation. Amen? So if you're feeling condemned, all I say is that's not God's heart for you. He wants you to be set free from that. Amen? The time's getting so quick this morning. So how do we receive God's forgiveness? Kind of where do we start with it all? Well, firstly, we need to start by realizing that forgiveness has been given. Luke 23, verse 33 says this, and this is on the cross itself. "When they came to the place called the skull, they crucified Jesus there along with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. So forgiveness is the first prayer that Jesus made from the cross for us. Even in amongst all that was going on the cross, Jesus' heart of compassion and forgiveness was still there as people were crucifying him and all that was going on. People goading him and making fun of him and telling him to come down from the cross and not believing in who he was and his own guys who he'd just done life for 3 years had all kind of like legged it and disappeared because they were worried about facing the same kind of persecution or whatever was kind of going through their thinking. But Jesus' heart, even at that stage, when all of that going on, the turmoil of the physical, emotional turmoil of all that was going on, said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. That is God's heart of compassion and forgiveness. Amen? So forgiveness is a grace gift. As we just mentioned, it's never based on what we've done, what earned, or deserved. It's something given, not achieved. I don't know about you, but I'm pleased about that. Amen? It's not something we have to achieve. You know, we say, don't we, in our modern society, because there's a lot of scams and things go on, you know, if something's too good to be true, then it probably is too good to be true, right? We say that, don't we? And you get the internet scams and all sorts of things, people promising free things, and there's probably some sort of catch somewhere. But the amazing thing about Christianity, there is no catch. Nothing. There is no catch. It's a completely free gift, the gift of forgiveness. Amen? Forgiveness is a gift that's needed by everyone. Is also the reality. Romans 3, verse 23 to 24 says, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All are justified freely by his grace through redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1, verse 7, In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So we all need forgiveness. Everyone agree? Amen? Whatever we've done in our lives, however good we may think we may have been, okay? Maybe we think we haven't been too bad. Maybe that's your assessment of your life. I don't know. Okay, but we all need forgiveness, right? And there's only one person who can actually judge what's good and what isn't good, and that's God himself, amen? Because as I said last week when we were talking about Jesus' work on the cross, if you ask the 8 billion people on the planet, there'd be 8 billion different versions of what it means to be a good person, right? You would have 8 billion different opinions. What does it even mean to be good? It's only God himself, the creator himself, that can decide what is good and what isn't. We all need forgiveness. Amen? Now, of course, forgiveness is always based on the finished work of the cross. Now, who Jesus was and what he achieved on the cross will always be the basis of our forgiveness and what positioned us to be able to experience his forgiveness. Amen? 1 John 2, verse 12, I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. Amen. So kind of three points to remember. We are forgiven because he has forgiven us. It is never about what we have done, but it's all about what he has done. Amen. That's fundamental to the doctrine of salvation. It's about what Jesus has done. Amen. And we just receive it by faith. It's a free gift. Okay. God's forgiveness is never based on our performance, but completely on his love and our obedience. Now, there's no such thing as second-class Christians. There's no such thing as tier of Christianity. It's just not correct teaching. Have you ever heard that stuff? Right? Either you're born again or you aren't. There aren't two different types of Christians. There's not born-again Christians and some Christians that aren't born again. Either you are born again. People may express it in different ways. That's definitely true. Okay, but either you're a born-again Christian or you aren't. That's the way I look at it. Because that's what the Bible teaches. Right? Either you're on your way to heaven or you aren't. There aren't different categories. Amen? Either you're forgiven or you aren't. We don't believe in purgatory and some of that kind of Catholic teaching, which is a bit off-center, or very off-center in some cases. You know, believing there's things that you have to do even after you die. You know, we believe it's all based on what Jesus did on the cross and through his death and resurrection. His forgiveness is completely based upon that. Amen? I'm pleased about that. It's not based on my performance. You know, if we had to try and earn his forgiveness, it would turn we would turn it into a deserved wage rather than the grace gift. We could never do enough to earn it. You know, the wages of sin is death, Romans 4, talks about in Romans 4. you know, we could never meet God's standard. And this is the thing that separates Christianity from all the other faiths or religions that there are across the world, because we're not trying to meet God's standard. And if you are trying to meet God's standard, and I've said this as a pastor before, but I say it again from the front, stop it. I'm deadly serious. If you're trying to meet God's standard or think, well, if I just do this, and I just do this, and I just do this, then maybe somehow God will love me or accept me. That's just not, it's not truth, what you're believing. Amen. Of course, there's things that God wants us to do for him, but we cannot earn our salvation. God does not want us to even attempt to earn our salvation, as if we could ever possibly meet up to God's standards anyway, right? We would never get anywhere close. Well, where would we even start, right? It's like, well, God, I'm going to try and meet your standards now. Where do we even start with that, right? Sorry? That's all. Well, good job I'm a forgiving type as well. Wow, wowzers. Amen. But we can never do enough to earn it. Our forgiveness is totally the result of his life sacrificed and blood shed. You know, we know about the reality of the Old Testament and what happened in the Old Testament. And, you know, it wasn't just random what happened. It was all God's plan. Remember, they would sacrifice animals, and the animal would effectively pay the price for sin. And then they'd have the Day of Atonement, so they would sacrifice animals on an ongoing basis, and then there'd be the Day of Atonement once a year, when they basically, like, in case there are any sins that hadn't been covered, like, we're going to have this one day a year to make sure everything's covered, okay, on the Day of Atonement. And they had to sacrifice a perfect lamb. We know about what happened at Passover and how it all points towards Jesus, right? And, you know, the blood of the perfect, or the best lamb they could find, they had to sacrifice a lamb and put it on their doorpost. And it all points to the need for Jesus. It had always been God's plan to have a once and for all sacrifice to deal with the issue forever. Amen? You know, even in the Old Testament, the sacrifice of sin was always based on the lamb's sacrifice. This is a really important point to understand. Even in the Old Testament, the sacrifice for sin was always based on the lamb sacrificed, not the person sacrificing it. It was actually about the lamb paying the price. That was actually what brought atonement, what brought forgiveness. So Jesus was the Lamb of God. You know, John the Baptist, and he said, here comes the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's who Jesus was destined to be. So the fullness and quality of our forgiveness comes through Jesus being the perfect Lamb. We must never, as believers, we must never undervalue the cost of forgiveness, what it cost Jesus, what it cost him on the cross to win our salvation, what God paid for our salvation. You know, it was a big price. Man, the scripture says we've been bought at a price. Amen. Our forgiveness was bought at a huge price. Amen. Matthew 26, verse 28. As Jesus was having the Passover meal the day before the crucifixion, said, "This is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And of course, we remember that kind of through communion. Praise God. You're still keeping up? Awesome. Colossians 1, verse 13 to 14 says this: "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Amen. So through what Jesus did on the cross, we've been brought out of the dominion of darkness and we're brought into a brand new kingdom. The kingdom of light, or the kingdom of the Son of his love. And that's where we find redemption, the forgiveness of sins. When we're in the dominion of darkness, we didn't really know what we were doing. That's where most of the world is, isn't it? That's why we have to be careful not to judge. We should pray for the world, but we have to be careful not to judge the world, because they're just doing what they know to be true. They're just in deception. They're confused. They don't know who their creator is. And the reality is, before we were believers, that's exactly what we were like, right? If we didn't know Jesus, we'd be doing exactly the same thing. So we have to be careful not to judge the world. You know, we just had our spiritual eyes opened to the reality and to truth, amen? But we need to understand, we've been brought out of a dominion and brought into a brand new kingdom, the kingdom of the Son, of his love, where we find forgiveness and redemption. 1 John 2, verse 2 says, "Here's the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." Amen. So let's keep moving on. How do we receive God's forgiveness? We understand that it's completely based on what Jesus did. We don't earn it. It's a gift of grace. It's unmerited favor. How do we receive forgiveness? Just kind of four really simple things. Firstly, admit it. Be honest about your sin. So the stuff that's going on in your life right now, the stuff that's habits, the stuff that you know that you, God needs to deal with and you need forgiveness for, firstly admit it. Because remember, God knows anyway. It's not like you can somehow hide it. It's like, oh, God won't be aware. Okay, but other people may not be aware, that's true, but God will definitely be aware. Right? So admit it, be honest about your sin. Number two, accept responsibility. In other words, own it. Don't try and pass the buck. Oh, it's this person did it. It's my wife's fault. It's my children's fault. It's my job's fault. Do you know what I mean? Own it, right? No one else is responsible for what we do other than ourselves, right? Own it. Don't try to pass the buck. So admit it. Accept responsibility. Three, ask for forgiveness. The scripture says ask and you will receive. Ask for forgiveness. And number four, then receive it. Receive it as a gift that's been given by Jesus. Admit it, accept responsibility, ask for it, and receive it. Amen. Now, King David, who the Bible describes as a man after God's own heart, you know, he really messed up. I'm sure you know the context of that. He really messed up in adultery and also, and then murdered the woman's husband. It's just, you know, that's not good, right? That's not good in any context. But King David gives us a great model for dealing with sin. As shown by what he did, he was confronted by Nathan the prophet, and Nathan tells this story, as many of you know, but you have to look all this stuff up. I haven't got time to look into it all this morning, but you can read about it in 2 Samuel 11 and 12, and David messes up, and God sends Nathan the prophet and tells a story about a man who stole a sheep, and David's like, that's terrible. It's like, basically, this is what you did. You stole that man's wife. And David's like totally distraught by the reality of the conviction of what he'd done. So you can read about that in 2 Samuel 11 and 12. And then Psalm 51 was one of the psalms that David wrote. It's like an open document of his heart of repentance and confession of sin. His heart to confess and not to cover it up resulted in God's mercy and forgiveness. Amen. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them then finds mercy. Amen. Very quiet today. I trust it's speaking deep into your life. So Jesus has done all the kind of the hard work, if I can kind of put it in that context, by all he did on the cross. But there's things that we do need to bring to the table, in one sense, not to earn anything, but just things that we do need to do. So firstly, to deal with sin, we need to bring repentance. You know, repentance, I mean, to understand what New Testament repentance is, it isn't just about feeling bad about what we've done. Okay, well, that's, I guess, a good starting place. Okay, but it's also having the determination or the desire to actually change how we think about a situation, to actually have the intention of not doing it anymore. Doesn't mean to say you may still mess up in the future, but have the intention of changing, actually changing the way you think. That's what repentance actually means. Okay, so bring it before God, but with the intention of actually doing something about it. Amen? With God's help. So true repentance involves a turning from sin and a turning towards God. Amen? Acts 3 verse 19 says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. So you need to come with repentance. Number two, with confession. Okay, I'm not talking about going to see a Catholic priest and sitting outside a kind of like a wooden box and telling him everything that we've done. I was talking to Pastor Andy, who's our senior pastor, about this, and he was quite rebellious for part of his lifetime. And he was saying how he used to go to a Catholic priest and he literally used to make sins up just to shock the priest. He says it's one of the funniest things he ever did. But anyway, I wouldn't recommend doing that, but it did sound amusing. Okay. So when we're talking about confession, we're not talking about going to see a priest. You don't need to come and see me, okay, and confess it before me, okay? Not that I'm a Catholic priest in that sense anyway, in any sense, okay? But it's talking about confessing it before God, right? Confessing our sin is us taking ownership of it and not living with excuses or blame, but owning it, okay? We confess our sins directly to our heavenly high priest, not an earthly priest, amen? On our heavenly high priest is Jesus. Amen. Now the key to understand is that sin confessed is sin forgiven. Amen. Praise God. 1 John 1 verse 9 to 10, one of my favourite scriptures, if you're allowed favourite scriptures. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, So don't claim we haven't sinned. We've been perfect. Because if we claim we've not sinned, we make God out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Amen. Let's go back to King David in Psalm 32. He said this after he was confessing things before God. He said this: "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Amen. Praise God. I'll just bring this to a close now. So the things that we do bring, okay, remember we're not earning anything, but there are things we need to bring. We need to bring repentance to receive God's forgiveness, bring confession, confessing it before him. And number three, we bring faith. As with everything that God gives us, forgiveness can be received solely because God has made it available and then invites us to receive it by faith, by believing and trusting him. And that's true with all the doctrine of salvation, isn't it? It comes as a result of faith. Us trusting God. Remember, faith ultimately, there's lots of different aspects of what it means and how it works, but ultimately faith is trusting God. Trusting what God is, who he said he is, and what he says is true. Amen? That's what ultimately faith is. And saying, God, I receive your forgiveness by faith. I believe what you did on the cross for me. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess it before you. I come with repentance. I want to change my thinking. Remember Romans 12, isn't it? 1 and 2, you know, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God wants us to continue our thinking, to be continually changed, to give us the mind of Christ. So we come with a heart of repentance, a heart of confession, and receive it by faith. Amen. So three key things to remember when you're asking God for his forgiveness is, number one, you don't need to beg. You don't need to beg God for forgiveness. Amen? Remember, he is absolutely more than willing. He's just waiting. Remember the story of the prodigal son and Jesus, the incredible stories that Jesus would tell to illustrate how the kingdom of God worked. And God is just waiting there with open arms. Just like, just come back. Just bring it before me. I know what you've done anyway. Just confess it. Receive forgiveness by faith. Let's get this sorted out. Remember, it was his brother who was a bit religious who actually got really annoyed, didn't he? He's like, how could you be, said to his, you know, his kind of heart was towards his dad, was how could you be so compassionate? How can you forgive him after everything he'd done? But this was the heart of the Father, amen? It's the point that Jesus was making. So the great news is we don't need to beg, amen? We don't need to bribe God either, number two. It's not some sort of trade-off. You know, if you forgive, you know, if I'll do all these things around all the world and I'll go on missions all around the world if you just forgive me. It's not some kind of trade-off, okay, that you can buy it either. So we don't need to beg. We don't need to try and bribe God. That's three B's there. And number three, we don't need to bargain. He's not looking for some kind of deal. It's all because of the cross and nothing else. Amen? Praise God, indeed. Amen. So finally, how does God forgive? Four different quick points here as we come to an end. Number one, the great news is he forgives instantly. Aren't you glad about that? You know, Pastor Colin Urquhart, who's now in heaven, he was very influential on us as a church and was a close friend of Pastor Andy. He wrote a book. It's called The First Minute. It's just the whole thought of it has just really blessed me. And it's talking about when you pray to God, and if there's stuff you need to confess and there's stuff you need to put right, just do that in the first minute. And the first minute, it's done and dusted. And so often we can try and we think, oh, yeah, well, I've got to like confess it like for 3 hours, and then I've got to wear sackcloth and ashes, and I've got to do all those kind of things. And his point was, no, the first minute it can be done and dusted. Then you just continue with your prayer, and all those things are brought before God. Aren't you glad that he forgives instantly? Amen. So forgives instantly, and number two, he forgives completely. There's no half measures. The son sets free is free indeed. God will never do a half measure or a half job. You know, even if people have let you down, or maybe there's people in your life, the people who won't forgive you for things that you've done, maybe that's a reality, some relationships that you've got in your life or happened in your past, there are people who won't forgive you, and that may just be the reality of a situation, but that will never be God. Amen. He will completely forgive you and wants you to be completely free. Colossians 2, verse 13 to 14 says, "When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross." Amen. Amazing. So he forgives instantly. He forgives completely. He's done a full measure. He's forgiven our sins because he took them. He nailed them onto the cross. Number three, he forgives repeatedly. The reality is we may blow it repeatedly. Hopefully we're going on a Christ-like journey with God, absolutely. But we may blow it repeatedly. And the good news is he forgives repeatedly. You can't exhaust it. You know, when some of the disciples, didn't they came to Jesus and like, how many times should we forgive? And Jesus was like 70 times 7, which is what, 490. And Jesus was just kind of using a big, not something, something magical about 490, he was just using a big number. And that kind of totally blew the disciples' minds. What are you saying? I've got to keep forgiving over and over again? This is like a completely alien concept to them. They were almost like trying to justify themselves. Like, I forgave someone 3 times. I forgave someone 4 times. And Jesus was like, no, it's going to be like 500 times. And they're like, what? This is crazy. Right? But that is God's heart. He forgives over and over and over again. You cannot exhaust God's forgiveness. Praise God for that. Amen. Only glad. So he forgives instantly. He forgives completely because it's all because of his sacrifice. He forgives repeatedly. Number four, he forgives freely. There is no cost. There is nothing you need to pay the price for. The price has been paid once and for all. Amen. There is no cost. Well, there was a cost, but he has paid that cost. Amen. Praise God. You know, knowing that God has forgiven us should affect our relation, or will affect our relationship with him, the way we see ourselves, our sense of daily peace. He who has peace with God has peace. Amen. And if you've got turmoil going on in your life, and especially if it's related to stuff that you've gone on in your past or going on now, maybe there's some sin that God needs to deal with. But I just encourage you, just put it right. I mean, you don't need to beg, you don't need to bribe, you don't need to bargain. He forgives instantly, he forgives completely, he forgives repeatedly, he forgives freely. So, as I said earlier, it almost seems too good to be true, doesn't it? But it is truth. It's just an incredible truth as to what Jesus has won for us. God wants you to have complete and utter peace with him. Amen. And to live in the reality and the freedom of his forgiveness. Let's stand to our feet. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, where would we be, Lord, without your forgiveness? Lord, where would we be without your heart of compassion and love, Lord, towards us? Lord, we just, Lord, we focused on Easter last week. Lord, we focused on the cross every single week. Lord, because where would we be without the cross? Where would we be without your death and burial and resurrection? Oh, God, where would we be without the new life, Lord, that you've given us? Oh, God. Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for your blood that was shed for us. Lord, that washes us clean and makes us whiter than snow, that makes us holy and righteous and pure in your sight. Lord, it's all because of what you have done. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we'll be a people, Lord, that know that we are completely forgiven. Lord, and live in a place, Lord, we have complete peace with you. Knowing that we're forgiven, knowing that we're made new, knowing that you've washed us clean. Lord, God, if we've messed up, Lord God, that we can just bring it before you. If we confess it before you, you're faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. I pray we'll come with a heart of repentance, Lord God, before you, with a genuine intention, Lord, to allow you to change our thinking. If there's habits that need to be broken in our lives, Lord, we just give you permission to do that in Jesus' name. Lord, we just submit, as we spoke a few weeks ago, Lord, about the Lordship of Christ. Lord, we bring ourselves under your Lordship. We don't need to beat ourselves up, Lord God, but we do come under your mighty hand and under your Lordship. We've been brought into a new kingdom. You are the King. You, Lord, you own us. We've been bought at a price. Lord, so we choose to be people, Lord, that are obedient to you. And I pray you just empower us and equip us. Lord, help us to deal with temptation, to take thoughts captive at the root. Lord, at its root, Lord, before it becomes a seed in our heart. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, may we be people, Lord, who are repentant, Lord, that confess before you, Lord, and we come through faith. Lord, knowing that we can't earn this in any way. Grace is a completely free gift. It's unmerited favor. We've done nothing to deserve it. Lord, we're just so grateful for your grace. Lord, the greatest gift, Lord, you've given the human race is, Lord, of grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your grace, your unmerited favor for each and every one of us. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving us and for washing us clean. Praise you, Jesus. I just wanted to pray a second prayer quickly. You know, maybe you've never known the kind of the power of God's forgiveness in your life. You know, maybe you haven't kind of lived a Christian life. And just I'm going to pray a prayer in a second, and I would just really encourage you to pray this. If you want to invite God into your life this morning, you can know what it is to completely wash clean and completely made new, to have the slate wiped clean. It doesn't matter what you've done, however bad you may assess what you've done. It doesn't matter, because Jesus paid the price through the cross, and that was always God's plan, to be the ultimate sacrifice, to be that lamb that takes away the sin of the world, to take the punishment that should have been on us, but to take that upon himself and to deal with our sin once and for all. And you can know what it is to be totally forgiven and for all the passes to be forgotten about. As we read earlier, one scripture, Psalms, it says, Psalm 139, as far as the east is from the west, which you can't even measure that, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far God removes your sins from you. He totally forgets about it. Once it's dealt with and forgiven, he's forgotten about it, and it's dealt with forever. And if that's you, I just encourage you just to pray this prayer with all of your heart and just invite God into your life this morning. You can know the power of forgiveness this morning. Let's all just pray this together. Thank you, Jesus, for your amazing love for me. Thank you for coming to earth to die on the cross for me. I want to accept your forgiveness. I want you to wash me clean for anything I've ever done wrong. I invite you into my life. I ask you to change me and to make me new. I thank you for the promise of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray, everyone just keep their eyes closed. If you've prayed a prayer and you've never ever prayed a prayer like that before, you've never asked God to forgive you or invite him into your life before, I just encourage you just to raise your hand, because I would just love just to chat with you and pray with you afterwards and just say, yeah, that's me. I need God's forgiveness in my life. So anyone this morning, don't miss your opportunity. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. May we just know, Lord, the freedom we have in you. Lord, the peace with you that we have because of your heart of forgiveness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, it's all because of you. Lord, may we never try and earn it. Lord, accept it as a free gift that it always has been and always will be. In mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.